Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome, and Happy New Year to another episode of Talk Straight right here on blogtalkradio.com and Facebook. All of our listening audience, we are grateful for those of you who perhaps will tune in tonight, those who will call 657-383-0944. That is the number to call into the studio tonight, to the podcast studio, and be a part of tonight's discussion. It's open mic, the first episode of 2022 on this January 4th, 2022. Didn't I tell y'all that 2021 was on its way out? Bye-bye, 2021. Gone. Here we are in 2022. Brand new opportunities for it to make some out of it. Some people don't make a whole lot of fuss about New Year's. Just another day. Somebody might say it's just another day that the Lord has kept me. I don't know. But needless to say, we're grateful that we're here tonight. I encourage you to give us a call here. If you're listening to us, if you're following us, perhaps from the blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. Perhaps you got our link from Facebook. Feel free to tune in there. Post your questions, comments there if you want to, and I'll be happy to share them. But I would love to directly interact with you via phone. All we ask is that you know, let's keep it civil and respectful. What we've experienced over the last, going on 5 years now, 4.5 years, soon to be five, in August of this year. Is that right? No, man, we're going on our 6th year now. Oh, my goodness. How about that? What we've discovered, though, is that sometimes our conversations get pretty stirring. Heated, and we have some robust dialogue, almost even debate. That's good, because the things that we're talking about are very, very important things. And in order for us to, as a community, as a collective, to get to resolution, it's important that we have these conversations. We may not all agree, but in the end, when others listening to us, and I was looking at some of our the data for the show over the past year, and we've had some pretty, I saw where Germany was in, South Korea was in, perhaps some of our military people that are in those areas. We're tuning in to us. We're grateful for that. Of course, our common cities in the U.S., Chicago and New Orleans and St. Louis and Nashville, right here in Nashville, Mississippi, Columbus, Mississippi, Desma, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, yeah, New Orleans, Mecklenburg, North Carolina. How about that? How about that? Indianapolis, Indiana. Yes, 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 yes. Grateful. Peoria, Illinois will never forget you. Famous conversation from a lady we love to call Mama D there. Selma, Alabama. Very much represented. Different parts of Florida. Jacksonville, Florida. We can't forget Jacksonville, Florida there. Many places. But we welcome you wherever you are, wherever you're listening, to give us a call into the podcast studio, 657-383-0944. In fact, what it is open mic. And what that means on Talk Straight, your host is Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker. That's who I am. And we're glad to facilitate our dialogue tonight. Sponsored by Building Families and Community Institute. You heard a very old radio promotion. When we first started this, we were doing a traveling lecture and seminar tour focusing on at-risk males across urban America. And somebody might say, Doctor, it's time for you to change the radio, the intro. Okay, all right, got it. But tonight, again, on this January 4th, 2022, it just seemed hot to say that, man. It seemed hot that we're saying that already. Looks like it was just the beginning of the year last year. All right, let's make the best out of it. Again, the number to call here tonight is 657-383-0944. You can give us a holler here. What we'll do is we will wing it for the next about an hour and a half or so, leaving the phone lines and the airways open for your dialogue. You bring it up, we'll try to intelligently address it, discuss it. Topics ranging from education to politics to religion to social issues to economic issues, scientific issues. Now, I don't really delve off too much into argument in politics or religion, for that matter. Now it seems like science is being compromised to some degree. I mean, we find that there are people on different perspectives, different positions. Personally, I respect that. Talk Straight, we want to make sure that that is respected as well. While there's an opportunity for you to share your view, we definitely want to respect others in their view. Simply just put your position out there. If you can, substantiate it with some sort of evidentiary basis. And let's listen to other people and give them an opportunity to do likewise. Now, what I'm not going to do is allow just anything to just flow now. As the facilitator, I will interject. And if I ask you, hold on one second, please, or I ask you a question, bear with me. That's in the interest of the whole listening audience. Sometimes we get caught up in one-on-one exchange that we're not hearing anything but ourselves and perhaps the other person. It seems like we're dialoguing with or arguing with. We don't want to do that. We want to keep everybody in there. Sometimes the phone lines get, our lines are loaded. And I may ask you, hey, hold on one second. Let me go to somebody else because we got a number of people. And we typically go between an hour and a half to 2 hours. We were doing, in our inception, hour and a half. Then we went to 2 hours for 2 days, Tuesdays and Thursdays. But for now, we're just doing Tuesday nights. Some of our regular listening audience may have noticed that I picked up some other duties there. I'm a former candidate for political office here in Nashville, Tennessee. Pastor for 27 years now. Formerly taught in school and an entrepreneur, started a couple of business ventures. Two things right now that are prevalent is immediately I am the owner of an independent insurance agency where we provide insurance products such as home and auto, commercial, life insurance, Medicare supplements, and other medical insurance. So that's with the Dockery Agency, LLC, in Nashville, Tennessee. All right. But beyond that, in 2020, we began an effort to launch and start the Dockery Academy, Dockery Christian Academy, I'm sorry. And COVID pushed that, knocked it down and held it back, but we didn't hold us back, the founder and those that were supporting it. So we're still working to be able to get back there. Fortunately, it seems like the country is getting back to some level of normalcy. That is my hope and that's my prayer immediately. All right, and then we can do some. But what has not changed is the faltering and the failing of our young children, and particularly, you know, all of them now, but particularly those that were behind for years, according to all of the data, were at-risk males. In urban America, those were Afro-American or Negro, Black, colored males, however you want to call them. And that was a concern of mine, still a concern of mine. But and that was the focus of our lecture series that we made reference to earlier. All right, here we are in 2022. Whew. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. We started this thing in 2016, and we've been fortunate to maintain ourselves to a degree. I hope we've comported ourselves professionally, and what others have heard was useful and meaningful. I was just talking about earlier some of the areas that we were fortunate to be heard in. I forgot Canada, Toronto, Canada, and I'm grateful for all of you guys. That California, I didn't talk about LA, California, or Richmond, Virginia. Why did I forget them people? How can I forget them? Come on now. Come on, Doctor. What's wrong with you, man? Yeah. Great conversation. Great conversation. We had a few guests on from one lady from Richmond, Virginia. We welcome her back all the time. And so, you know, listen, I want to believe this is our thing. Yes, I'm the host and the facilitator. BFC Institute sponsors it. What is BFC Institute, you ask? Building Families and Communities Institute. It's a research arm for my nonprofit that I started in 1998. Yep, 1998, 24 years ago. That's what it was focused on, building families and communities. And BFC Institute was a research arm that we were operating from with the lecture series in our podcast, okay? And we're grateful for, again, all that we were able to do and prospectively the things we may do in the future, okay? But most important is you, more than anything else. You're the only thing that matters to me. You understand what I'm saying? And I want you to know that you're free to give us a call here, 657-498. I'm sorry, that's not the number. Not the number. Get it right, Doc. The number to call here tonight in the studio, right now. Pick up your phone, right now. Pick it up and call 657-383. Yes, that's 383-0944. I'd be happy to entertain you there. And we'll kind of go from there. You see what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? We'll let it do what it do. That's what I'm talking about. And where we are now is a point where we are attempting to, I think, as a nation, most people, some people are still understandably concerned about the virus, you know, a coronavirus, and now it is morphed to Omicron, right? And there's good news, and there's, you know, there's some good news, that's bad news, been worse, but it's better, it seems to me. And that is that, as I understand some of the preliminary studies and research, things are getting better, you know, and we're starting to now see a greater direction and emphasis on the prospect of herd immunity, very much like the common cold and flu. You know, enough people around get it, you may be sick for a little while, then you get better and you build up an immunity. That's very common in schools. And never will forget, I come from a family of 12, and six of us had the chicken pox at the same time. My mother had the forward thinking to understand if you leave all of them at home, let them all get sick together. I mean, she had a handful, you know, but we were a handful anyway. Let them all get sick together. When they get well, they'll all be well together. And guess what? We got through it. We got through it. So, but nonetheless, I pray that that's where we are as a nation. And I hope we heal from any divisions and misunderstandings and ill feelings that may have arose in these last couple of years. Got a brand new y'all. Brand new year, y'all. 657-383-0944. Hey, that's the number you call me. Give me a call right now. And I'd be happy to bring you on. It's open mic. That means it's your time. You want to talk, I want to hear you. I want to do more to listening than talking. Now, typically, if you're new to the show, I would offer a monologue, which would give context for a specific topic of focus. And we will use that as a point of reference to kind of bring us back, because what we don't want is our listening audience to become confused or inundated with a whole lot of ideas and topics flying everywhere, and there's no central thought to focus it. So the shows are recorded, and you can go back and download these shows. Yeah, yeah, you can download them and for future reference and that sort of thing. So, and we encourage you to do that. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/B as in Bravo, F as in Frank, C as in Charles, Institute. That's all one word, BFC Institute. That's blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. When you click on there, you'll be able to see our shows, and it looks like we're over the 500 some mark now. Well, over 510, if I'm not mistaken, episodes since we've been going. But nonetheless, there are a number of topics and conversations there. Tonight is open mic. Open mic, that means it's your turn to share your thoughts, anything on your mind, any ideas. We hope that we will hear from some of our friends that have regularly called. I realize that people move on and they have other things in life, you know. Maybe they made a New Year's resolution. They ain't no fool with no fathead, good-looking guys no more. That would be me. But, again, 657-383-0944. While we are waiting on you to call, listening audience, I don't have a guest because it's open mic. We don't have any specific topic, but it is what it is. Let me, though, kind of talk about some things here. I thought about it. We have to, I'm a parent. Now, my children are adults now. They're grown. And fortunately, they're working, they're independent, and living their lives. And my wife and I are proud of them. We're happy about that. But as a pastor and as a community advocate and as someone who as an educator, someone who's concerned about young people in particular and families in general, I don't want to beat up our teachers. However, it is important to recognize that formal educational institutions should keep an open mind to the fact that certain things can be detrimental to the academic, social, and emotional growth of children. For a long time, public schools have not only served as a place to get a formal public education, learn about your local city, your state, and how things function there, and how to become reasonably a productive, active citizen of your community, your society. And generally, you expect civic lessons to be learned there. But in addition to that, though, it provided an ample opportunity for young people to learn social skills as they interact with one another, as they learn together. And sometimes they make mistakes. We should expect that. But they also learn that there are adults in the room, teachers or counselors or even janitors sometimes. You understand? And principals, people of goodwill, parents that are volunteers. There are people there to help them walk through any mistakes they have and answer any questions they may have. And we've seen that there have been many different challenges for families and young people in the nature of their families. Some of them are homeless. Some of them are orphans or belong to the state, wards of the state. You know, some of them have lost their parents and things of that nature. It doesn't make them any less than a child of God and someone to be loved, to be taught, to be cherished, to be uplifted. It doesn't make them any less. You understand? But we have all of that there. And I want to recognize, as a former educator myself, for years the efforts of dedicated individuals who oftentimes don't get paid what they're worth. I personally witnessed them, some come out of their own pockets to try to meet the needs of young folk, not only academically, intellectually, but emotionally and socially. But I want to recognize that and say that in general, you, me, parents, and everybody ought to be invested in efforts to make sure that our schools are open and they serve the very, very powerful purpose that historically they have. Children should learn how to read. They should learn how to write. They should learn how to do math. They should engage in scientific discovery, studies. The arts and the sciences. Yeah, they should be challenged to think critically and not only to think what they want, but to welcome an open challenge to their thought and share that with others. Engagement, dialogue, interchange. It's what we need. And that's in part what we aim to do with Dockery Christian Academy in the future. All right? 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call. Go on, give me a call now. Go on now. Get on the phone. Don't pick that phone up. Give me a call. We'd be happy to entertain you there. And we're just keeping the phone lines open. I've had several different topics and had some very interesting conversation on last week, the last show of 2021. And a friend out of Los Angeles, California called in, and we were largely talking about, the power of parents, essentially, and the responsibility that comes with teaching children, you understand, and how relationships accordingly that are related to those things, the impact that it has on young folk development. Yeah, we have a tendency, in my observation, to be unilateral in our thinking. Adults do, chronologically grown adults. We tend to put the interests of ourselves ahead of others, and particularly young children. I'm old enough to remember the saying that children should be seen and not heard. Right? Well, there's something there to think about. They're not like wild weeds that grow. Put a little water on them and they'll grow anyway, but they're human beings. They're social beings. They learn by example and interchange, dialogue. They are very observant. Too often folk think they're stupid. They don't know nothing, but they're watching you. They're watching you. In fact, your children consider are somewhat like a recorder. They're watching you and observing you and picking up things that they're not verbalizing. They see it and they hear it in their little hearts. One day they get big enough to press stop, rewind, play. Uh-oh. And they all your business is out on the street. But God Almighty. You never took time to think about what lessons they were learning from your example and how you can guide those lessons and how you can shape their understanding of things that they see, observe, as they hear. Because you're so busy, we have a tendency to be so busy, caught up in ourselves. I shared the story about how my daughter, bless her heart, you know, when she was little, she and my son, I picked him up from school and I was driving a church van. Been all day taking care of business, moving back. We had plenty of money in my pocket to put gas in the van, but was so busy, caught up in what I was doing, that I didn't stop to do that. When it came time to pick them up from school, guess what? Man, the van ran out of gas, and my daughter was hot. My son was smart enough to just be upset, but you know, be quiet about it. She's going to let me have it. She's going to let me know. But then I had to check myself. I had to realize, you know what? I can earn that. Now she, you know, all right, now that's enough, baby. Be quiet and hush your mouth. But she was right. Daddy, you know, you don't have no money? What's wrong? Yeah, I got money, baby. I got money. Well, what happened? Something stopped you from getting to the gas station? No, sweetie, I just didn't see. Now we're out here walking. You see? Bless her heart. But I said that to say adults oftentimes will get caught up in ourselves. Go straight to the phone line. Guess who we got? Listen, in 2021, we dropping it like it's hot. We got our co-host, our friend, co-laborer, not only in the gospel, but in Blog Talk Radio, Pastor Ricky Waller. We call them the little children out there. We've done several camps with them. Go Slick Rick. Author of two books, Still High, and the second book, Flip Side. Let me welcome my good friend and my brother. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm all right, Pastor Dr. Red. How you doing?
Give me some good news. Pastor, it's 2022. Some people say it don't matter what day it is, but give me some good news that I can use, man. Help me out here.
Well, the most valuable news that I can come up with after asking that question, I would say that to acknowledge the one who made this day.
Mm.
And that's right. Mm. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made.
I see.
And
I would.
And to be glad. They've done something. That's a great start of a new year. Of course, as you said earlier, any day is a magnificent day if you recognize him.
Right.
So when he said in his word that this is the day
that
the Lord has made, imagine, man, being able to make a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that's hard for anybody to do. Don't make no difference where they came from. I don't believe that nobody should touch that. You know?
Right. Right.
Nobody on this earth should touch that. Make a day.
Right.
And
make a day.
That right there is good news. Yeah, man. That's, you know, he made the day. Now, I just believe it. I haven't seen any or didn't appear when it was going on or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I believe that it took place because the day is here.
Okay. Yeah, here it is. Here we go.
Yeah.
We're looking at it. Well, guess who we got on with us now? Out of St. Louis, Missouri, our one and only brother that has called in, been with us for a minute there. Welcome, St. Louis. Happy New Year, brother.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Ruben. How you doing?
I'm still fat head, but good looking. That makes the difference right there. You know what I mean?
Well, it takes all of that to do it. You got to keep it all together.
Yes, sir. I didn't put no makeup on St. Louis, but I did fix my hair. You understand what I'm saying? I try to keep it all together.
Well, that's good.
That's yes, sir. Good. Well, we were just in open mic. We're starting out the year with open mic here. Is there anything in particular you'd like to share with us? Or what's on your mind? We'll be happy to try to entertain it.
Well, there's a lot of things out there to speak on, you know, okay. From how people, how the population is just so ignorant on so many things. And this ignorance goes right back to the education of children who grew up to be ignorant grown folks. Much of that you can see with this thing called COVID and this pandemic. That's why I've always said, try to hit on that it's not no one particular thing, it's a multiplicity. But seemingly it all goes back to the one cornerstone called the education of your children. Well, children grew up to be adults, and if they don't understand their civic duties, they don't understand the foundation of this great country that we're in and what it took to get it that way,
right,
and what inalienable rights that they have, then you have what you got. Everything's all over the place. It'd take more than a good sermon by you to straighten that out.
Well, I ain't gonna preach. Don't start nothing, St. Louis. There won't be none. No. But yeah, that's true. Pastor, what do you think about that? There are so many things that are taken for granted, and it's just assumed that people know it. You know, I mean, we talk about chronologically grown folk. We assume they are aware of certain things. But you're shocked when you engage and you're like, wow, you wasn't aware of that. What do you think about that, Brother Pastor?
Well, you did get this, Pastor Doctor. I would say that, you know, a lot of things are being made, you know, shirts, shoes, cars, planes, you know, a lot of things being made.
Mm-hmm.
And people put more energy in that than they do in the one who made and say that things could be made.
Okay.
Without him, nothing can be made. Nothing can be done, right or wrong, good or bad. So because he's been rejected, I say that because he's been rejected so much to the point it makes it seem like he don't even exist. You see what I'm saying? So if you deviate away from that and allow the enemy to come in like a flood, like he would do, then it would make something effective that's really not effective, because you can't even do bad without his permission.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, the word he said, he would send a person an illusion to make them think that they know what they know when they really don't know. And so, as I said, that when you say, give me some good news, I don't think no man on this earth can touch that. Because he said, this is the day that the Lord has made. And he tells you to rejoice and to be glad in it. Now, check this out. Now, if that holds good today, I just say if that holds good today, just imagine everybody acknowledging him no matter what they do in life. But when they reject him, that's automatic failure. I don't care how rich you are, how intelligent you are, how much you think you know. I'm talking about me now. You understand? I realized that, man, all of that I was doing, but I didn't acknowledge him as making the day because I was ignorant. I didn't know no better.
Okay.
But once I got to the flip side and learned that, then I don't think nothing on this earth can touch that when it comes down to making something. Something happen. You know how you right now on this podcast, you know, you're doing all that you can do to make a difference. You want to make sure that you put out things that would be beneficial.
Right.
But if he didn't make this day, my brother, you would not be able to do that. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I don't believe you would be able to do none of that that you're doing if the one that made this day didn't allow you to do it.
Okay.
And I say some people just choose to do, that's why he said choose your this day who you would serve.
Sure.
And I'm going to turn it back over to you on this one. He said, if you think it's evil, to serve the Lord.
Hmm.
Choose you this day who you would serve. And that's amazing because he's even giving you a chance to say, okay, you know, you think it's evil to serve the Lord? He said, well, go ahead on and choose you this day who you're going to serve. And he's all right with it. I'm not going to try to force you to praise me. I'm not going to try to make you believe that I exist. But one thing about it, I know what's in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I love about this day, man. So I'm going to keep being in his props and believe nothing and nobody can separate me from the love of God, and I'll be all right with it because I've learned some things that I didn't know. You know, had it not been for him, I would be still ignorant and doing my own thing, man, which I know the word says, whosoever trusting in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walk wise and shall be delivered. So thank God for deliverance, man.
I hear very loudly your affinity for faith, man, and knowing that we didn't get here by ourselves. You understand? That was a birth process and things of that nature. But I'm sure you would recognize as well that there are individuals who they just don't. That's not something that they thought about. I was talking to a young man not too long ago.
It was
in last year. And, I made reference to him Proverbs 27 and 17, where it talked about iron sharpening iron and brothers helping one another, right? And he said, man, I don't know nothing about that. And this young man is, I guess he was in his 20s or so. He didn't tell me his age. I assumed him to be. See, I don't know nothing about that. So, but what he did know is that there were things around him, you know, in society, in the world as he saw it, and he very in tune with social media and what it suggests to him and so forth and so on. That was his context, Pastor. That was his context.
Right. Right.
And I find that as we interact with people, that's kind of what we want to try to do is to open up that dialogue so that people can hear. Now, I think I'm convinced that St. Louis and Pastor Wallace, that if we are true to what we say, what we do, that we can be a light in a dark situation for someone. See what I mean? And they may very well come around to embracing that perspective that we have. Is that possible, you think, St. Louis?
Well, yes. If you're true to what you say.
Okay.
I know I'm true to what I say I'm going to do and not going to do.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like people that criticize me for who I vote for. I was given, you know, if you purchase from Amazon, through Amazon Smile,
mm-hmm.
you can take part of your purchase dollars and go through a charity of your choice. You know that how that works, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Well, see, I was given to a black organization.
Okay.
Well, see, the members, some of them, was criticizing me because I voted for Donald Trump.
I see. Okay. That's your right.
Well, yeah. So I said, well, I'll show y'all. And I stopped giving to them.
Say what? Now, so what's going to happen to the organization?
I don't know. It's their business. Just like I stopped purchasing from executive leasing when they stop honoring NRA life members for car leases. Or rentals.
I see what you're saying.
When they done that, I said, I ain't doing business with you no more. Twitter, when he canceled Trump's account, mm-hmm. I canceled mm-hmm. Twitter.
Okay.
Amazon wrote to me.
Hmm.
It's the letter. It said, Dear Pianchi, this is the quarterly notification to inform you that Amazon Smile has made a charitable donation to the charity you've selected,
okay,
the National Rifle Association Foundation Incorporated,
okay,
in the amount of $14,793.92.
Okay.
So that goes to the NRA. It doesn't go to that other organization.
Okay.
Because of what they showed in trying to tell me who I should be voting for. So you have to be strong in your conviction. Don't play with it.
Well,
would you believe that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there are some people, though, would you agree that because they have learned to follow examples and keep up with the crowd, if you will, that it's hard for them to see that. You know what I mean? And in their minds, I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to feel like I'm the outsider. So I'll keep up with the Joneses in the crowd. You can appreciate. Now I'm not saying that they're bad people for that, but what you'll find is when the crowd is gone, you'll be by yourself. Because the crowd only gets what I've learned. And that's been my observation. What do you think about this, St. Louis?
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean.
It does exist.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens, don't it? It happens. Pastor, have you ever been through that, where you found yourself by yourself? You thought you had people supporting you, behind you, you know, pushing you, and then you looked up, hey, man, where'd they go? That ever happened to you?
You know, I love that because what I just got out of the whole conversation as you started out. And, mm-hmm. you know, there was a man by the name of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Strong believer in what he was doing. He trusted
mm-hmm.
his own heart. You know, he was foolish. He was insane. He was highly educated. Just what he found out.
What's that?
Just what he found out. How ignorant he really was.
What?
And I'm talking about he confessed it, man.
What?
He changed his life, and all of a sudden he became a great supporter and he started doing the will of God, man. I mean, could you imagine? This man was strong in his belief.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to nobody change him.
Mm.
And all of a sudden he became a messenger for the Lord.
I see.
Could you imagine how powerful that was?
Well,
now, he wasn't entrusted in the Lord from the start.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man that was against him.
Okay.
You know, talked down on him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I got out of that is that, man, even that man had a chance to change because he came around and said he did it ignorantly in unbelief. In other words,
mm-hmm.
so he thanked God for allowing him to become his messenger, which I'm sure that was a shocking to him, you know, because the way he was treating other people. You know, it's like, okay, you say you care about the Lord. Okay, I'm against you. He found out later, man. Now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying what I found out about it, you know, and I said, that's amazing. So even in my actions,
mm-hmm.
I was against the Lord. I wasn't with him. I didn't call on him. I didn't utilize his name because
okay.
I was doing my own foolish thing, and I didn't know no better.
Okay.
You know, even though I thought I did, and that's what I can appreciate out of what you're talking about right now, and it gives me an understanding that if I don't stand on it, then I'll fall for anything. All you got to do is make it sound good to me and make it feel good to me. I'm gone then. But see, I just found out
mm-hmm.
that wasn't good. That wasn't good at all for me, you know. And it's a blessing, man, to just be able to admit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're wrong, see, in being wrong, I did not like being wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm being, I just didn't like it, and I still today don't like being wrong. But when
okay.
I find out that I love to admit when I'm wrong, even though it hurts, I still
okay.
love to admit that I'm wrong because it's good for me. You know how
I
they used to say, I'm going to turn it back over to you after this. They used to say it, I didn't know nothing about it. They say, confession is good for your soul.
I heard that, man.
Man,
hey.
I used to hear about it, but I didn't know nothing about it because I was still doing my thing, but I still heard it. And, man, when I changed, I said, man, look how foolish you was, man. And I was just actually confessing how foolish I was for thinking that I could trust in my own heart. And I found out later that I was a fool. So it was nothing wrong with me confessing that. You know, that's what it says. It's good for my soul, and I feel a lot better confessing it versus just, you know, continuing to live that way and exclude the one who made this day. So I yield back to you on that note. That's
okay,
the
okay.
situation.
I appreciate that. St. Louis, the last topic we had in 21 was hope and family stability. And there was a gentleman called out of Los Angeles, California. He made reference to your name. He sounded like he knew you. And he recommended that I listen to Judge Joe Brown's show and possibly try to go on there and get Judge Joe Brown to come on here. I said, well, okay. Now, for me, with Judge Joe Brown, from the judge out of Detroit, I believe it is, I heard he was running for public office. And he said, y'all sound like a lot. Now, I here's where I bring that up. I said, well, so, okay. He made reference to the fact that you all either had prior discussions somewhere else or something like that. But I was just curious when it sounds like you may have, you're familiar with different topics and different styles of conversation and dialogue in the podcast hemisphere. Do you see that there is a opportunity for individuals to really learn something, to gain something? We talk a lot about what people, how people are missing information. How can that be improved? I guess I'm trying to ask, as a venue of information. So there are people everywhere. They're all over the place.
Well, you know, the people that call in on that particular discussion is mostly black conservatives.
Okay.
I'll say 100%, but
okay, a lot of
the Trump supporters.
Okay.
And a lot of them against what they see going on now, especially as it has to do with the COVID. Well, no, I really appreciate Judge Brown. I like him.
Okay.
I've known of him for a long time. He went through a lot of things to be able to accomplish what he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And he's a fair-minded person. And I really do appreciate Judge Brown. I'll tell you another one, too. Judge Mathis, he went through a lot of things, too, to accomplish what he accomplished. But
Okay.
He's on Friday at 3 o'clock p.m.
Oh, I see.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, gotcha.
The lady that has him is called, her name is Valerie. And you just look for that around 3 o'clock, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, or maybe 6, somewhere around there, 4 to 5, 5 to 6. So he'd be on.
Let me ask you this. Do you think someone like a Brown, who is very honest and frank about many things that need to change, particularly in urban America, do you think he would do well as a judge? I mean, as a mayor in a city like Detroit, given his socioeconomic dynamics? It's predominantly black.
Well, he's running for mayor. They want to run him for mayor in Memphis.
Oh, is that right? Is he in Memphis now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's even interesting. That's even more. Because oftentimes he doesn't hold any punches about African Americans and things that they can do better. You know what I mean? Families.
Yeah, especially knuckleheads.
Well, you talk about me now. Hold on. Don't talk about me, man. Don't talk about me. But do you think he'll do well in a city like Memphis as a mayor?
Well, I don't know much about Memphis other than what I hear.
Okay. All right.
You know, he's retired, so he don't have anything that could be held over his head for what he say now.
Right.
But
right,
that
right.
would be up to the people there in that city if that's
Sure.
Yeah. That's where they want to go.
I asked that question carefully because Pastor Waller can tell you that me and my dumb self, I tried to run for public office here. And it's interesting because maybe you can comment on that, Pastor. Many of the things that I talked about as a platform issue, for years I was getting beat up or fighting and trying to make sure it happened, encourage elected officials and folk like that to take that in consideration. But you're right. It's the voters that count. And if they don't embrace that, then are you wasting your time? Was it a waste of time, Pastor?
Well, let me tell you something, and I keep saying this, but say it one more time. If you don't educate your young people, see, you're trying to start off with people that just ain't going to do that. Well, I don't think.
Okay.
What you talking, what needs, you know, see, blacks got a tendency that they don't criticize themselves.
True. Now, that's
true. You see that. They don't hold themselves accountable, like Mike, George Floyd, that other young man, Wright,
okay,
who wasn't held himself accountable.
Okay.
So that's what it has evolved into, is that you got a population of people that look at things from a different perspective than you and I. You know, if you tell a kid that that stove is hot and they didn't listen, they went out there and touched it, it burnt, well, they had it coming to them.
Well, yeah.
So the same thing with a lot of these people out here that's getting involved in these things. They wrong in the wrong in the, before anything even begins. So if you in the wrong, you have no business doing things wrong.
I see. Okay, interesting. Let me ask Pastor, do you think it's a waste of time to make an effort to engage in the political process? And let's be honest, politics can be very nasty and ugly, you know? But do you think it's a waste of time if you really believe you can make a difference in that position, Pastor, in that role? And you've had a bird's eye view of where I've been, but in general, we're just having a discussion here. What do you think?
Anything positive and true and have God first, you know, it doesn't always come out in your favor when it comes down to the public.
Okay.
You know, because the majority is not always right.
That's
and
true.
Because the majority didn't select you to do the things that you have in your heart to do. That's not something that I would say. Well, they were right. So you're just wasting your time. I would say that there's a guy by the name of he's a great athlete. You know, and played basketball. And actually, when he was in college, he hit the winning shot one day. And you know, he wasn't very very. Popular. He did not, you know, seem to be the one that, quote, he became. So he shot the game because they couldn't believe that this man came to be called one of the greatest of all time now. Back then, you know, because he hit that shot back then for the college team, they didn't look at him like that he was going to be that. And so what I'm saying is that because the majority may say that this is what we need to be doing, that doesn't mean it's right. And that's the good part about it. So, no, it's not a waste of time. I mean, you had something in your heart that you was willing to share. You know what I mean? And I've heard you talk about some things that I've seen come to pass in the things that they've done that had it selected you, you may not have done it. You may not have done it. You know? But didn't get a chance to, man, because you was ahead of the game is what I'm saying. I heard you speak about it before. You know,
well, that's
and I'm
true.
Like, man, he said that. He said that. Then look at that. Yeah. And I'm somebody. I believe you had something. I believe you had something that could have caused it not to take place. You know, and it's like, man, we cannot get him right here in this spot because he'll stop it. I mean, he'll actually stop it. I mean, when I say not because you was thinking you was bad.
No.
Equipped with. Because of what you had, the knowledge and the wisdom and the willingness to share something that would make sense. You see what I'm saying? And the number one thing about it all, Pastor Doctor, I would say that you had God first.
Well,
and
we
man,
we,
sometimes when you put God first, brother, you would have an attack on you, and God just have to allow you to go through the process to see if you can handle it. And I would say to you, you handled it very well, man. I mean, you
well,
didn't
you.
Stop your... You kept on pushing, and you're still doing great things. And, you know, that to me is saying that's the beauty of having God first. I'll say this, and I'll just turn it back over to you.
Okay.
Man, to worship the devil. When I say worship, I mean,
say
I worship him. And then he, oh, yeah, I was worshiping. I'm not going to deny it.
Okay.
And man, when I think about it, I'm like, man, look how... I had multitudes of people coming from all over to support what I was doing with finances to purchase the things that I was doing, man, going back to harm people and see how I was doing it. And I get so much support. But when I got on the flip side, started doing the will of God, man, the support just dropped.
What? You couldn't find nobody.
Look, it dropped all the ground. I looked around. I said, where's all the people that I knew once upon a time that was just loving what I was doing? I had 24-hour operation, sleepless nights. I'm talking about, man, now suddenly I got the good news. Where are the people? So I'm saying all of that, but that didn't distract me from pushing on because that's what, you know, the power of the word of God would cause you to do. It would make you draw closer. It would make you free.
Okay.
And either way it goes, it's all right with me. And I just say, keep doing what you're doing because, no, it's not a waste of time. I don't believe it's a waste of time. Because if I feel like it was a waste of time, I say, I might as well give it up because, man, it is tough, man, with the way that I have learned.
I'd like to comment on something you said. I was at one person's funeral, and a lady came up to me, and she said to me, she reminded me of something she heard me say while on the campaign trail about young people. And she said, I sure wished you could have been there, because she was letting me know that her grandson was murdered. And, you know, some of the things we talked about from an economic standpoint in addressing crime and things like that, she said, you know, sadly, he was out there in that life in the streets and things of that nature. And she really thought that that could have been useful. Some of the ideas that from a government standpoint, we could have provided support for young people, things of that nature. And I said to her, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. But to your point, Pastor, I get that a lot now. And folk are constantly asking me, are you going to run again? I said, well, not as long as things remain the same. There are other things I believe that can be done to make a difference. And that's the most important to me, for me. So, but yeah, I was just curious about that St. Louis, because he has been of late known to be a very popular and hot figure because he tend to take a different viewpoint or bent than many people in urban America. In fact, some people say he's very critical, super critical of many practices.
Well, he's supposed to be. He calls it like it is, what he sees, like I see it.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be critical. You know, Atlanta just elected a new mayor, or mayor. He's a mechanical engineer, too.
Is that right? Oh, wow. Okay. Now, what do you think he's going to do? Because Atlanta having some problems. And that young lady that was just there, boy, my goodness, she dropped. Seemed to me, this is my opinion, she seemed to struggle with trying to address a lot of issues.
I ain't seen no black woman at the helm of a mayor do well yet. Have you?
That's a...
Especially prosecutors.
Wow. That's an interesting... Wow. Okay.
The one in Philadelphia? Ones in Philadelphia. I think the last three. You got that one there in Chicago and the prosecutor in Chicago that was going to let Jesse Smollett... The police chief said he would have let him go if he had apologized.
That's
a bunch of bull crap.
Hmm.
The man, what he calls, he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent.
Interesting.
But oh no, that's black privilege.
Well, okay. You were talking about the mayor there now. Some people would argue that everybody else done it. Why you got to put a spotlight on now because they're black, you know, and they're a black woman? Well, the reality is it's not about the gender. It's not about the ethnicity. But it's about being able to be a good executive, I would think. No, St. Louis?
Well, if everybody else is doing it, then vote for everybody else. Why you vote for somebody black?
Well, because it's called likeness in learning, St. Louis. People tend to identify with things that look like them, that they feel represent or reflect them, their interest in it. You understand that, don't you?
Well, if you don't know nothing, what do you think they're going to know?
So what you're saying is if the bland lead the bland, they both going to wind up in it. Is that what you're saying? They're
both going to wind out over the cliff. Yeah, they're going to walk right on over. I've only seen maybe a couple of good black mayors, and one was a crack addict.
Yeah, that's my guy now.
That was
Marion Barry out of D.C.
Marion Barry, yeah, he's a good mayor.
Well, one, and can I say this thing, Louis? I don't mean to cut you off. When I say he was good, what he did was to make sure that his constituents need, he fought, he bent over backwards, in my observation, for his constituents. Now, he had some personal flaws. Okay. Yeah. But mm-hmm. he made sure that resources and opportunity for poor black folks, for middle-class black folks, and even wealthy folks, he made sure that those resources were there and government brought them to bear. Hey, man, the dude, he fought like a champion in that regard. So, but I'm sorry I cut you off there.
Yeah, I don't care. You know, of course, I didn't have no opportunity to vote for him, but I don't care if he was a crackhead. He done what his constituents asked of him.
He sure did. He sure did.
See, here's the thing. You don't know what you will be called upon to do.
True.
You could be working in the barn,
mm-hmm.
baling hay. But when you mm-hmm. call upon to do what to be called upon, you're going to have to put that down and go do what you called upon. So, yes,
right.
he was a crack addict, but he put it down to the side and did what he was called upon doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I saw, gentlemen, is that what Barry did was, some people say we need a mayor that helped black people. His focus was not just on black people, but making sure that opportunity was there for everybody, and consequently, many blacks benefited from that. Some didn't take advantage of it, but many of them did. And
well,
that's
the way it worked.
He had a, right. He had a clean slate of opportunity. And his and he didn't have a problem with telling black folks, get off your butt and come to the table, man. It's up here. I put it on the table. Come get it. That was, you know, that's what I love about his spirit and his, you know.
So you got a lot of blacks that for some reason or another, they just want to have a black country in America. Well, that ain't going to happen.
No, I don't think so. Not no time in my
matter
life.
Of fact, it ain't going to happen. Blacks
okay.
don't have within their group the people that want to that could make that happen. All the
okay.
things that you need to have to run a nation, blacks don't have those experience. I'm talking about technical things.
Mm. You know, you're
because
not
of government.
You're not talking about everybody. You're talking
no,
about
I'm not. Well, then they, the other one that could, don't want to.
I see. Okay.
You got areas that the people just ain't in that's required to run a country. It's just not there.
There's an opportunity. I was telling some guys this a couple of years ago. Listen, if you really believe that there are certain things economically, educationally, socially, and even politically that you want for yourself, there's an opportunity for you to form yourself a community within America. Now, you're not going to start a new nation.
They ain't going to start no community because you can't keep others from moving in it. You're going to keep others from moving. You're going to stop non-blacks from moving into the area?
Wait a minute. They're pillars of a community, St. Louis. You know that. And the pillars involve a formalized process of teaching and learning. Right. It involves a strong economic independent base of economics. It involves some sort of legal and political representation. For
that's
ideas.
Where you're going to lose them right there. The economics. They don't have that kind of economics. You know, it was a community up in New York. And it was a school district. And you had Jews
okay.
that stayed in the school district.
Okay.
And the Jews
okay.
were complaining because the school district wasn't providing for children with disabilities, which, you know, exist in some of their families.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted football, they wanted basketball and all that
mm.
stuff. But
mm.
so what happened is Jews from all over the nation started moving there.
Okay.
And they moved there until they became a population and took
mm-hmm.
over the school district.
Wow.
Immediately they done away with them sports.
Well, that's a model.
They hired,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, they hired. They put in place the programs that they was not having access to when
yeah.
others ran the district, including blacks.
That's all I'm saying. That it's possible for you to organize yourself in a way that you can control the agenda. You understand what I'm saying? And we've heard Dr. Anderson talk about the Claude Anderson. He made reference to the importance of being organized like that so that you can control those people that are making policy. That means you have to be represented at the table. And that's all I'm saying.
Well, you got a black mayor in New York, and some people are talking about he want to change all the names of streets that had something to do with slaveholders. Now, that's silly. Why are you going to try to change history like that?
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think Eric Adams is going to do that.
That don't make no sense.
Well, you know, pie in the sky. But and guess what? They got a right to dream, St. Louis. Now, they got a right to want
it. Well, yeah, they got a right to do it. But when others do it to your hero, then you get mad.
Well,
you're changing the name of Martin Luther King. Let me ask
Pastor Waller this. Pastor, there were some people who were pushing for police reform and dismantling police departments and what have you. And in, if not all, most of those cities, crime has increased, and folk that were pushing for it now are begging for the president to help them get things back in order because it got so bad. What do you think about that, Pastor?
Pastor, there's a lot of things going on, man. I mean, you got to remember, you know, it's talking about an experienced player.
Mm-hmm.
You experience some things, you know, the intent of things that once upon a time I was a big part of.
Mm-hmm.
When you set a trap, you don't set the trap because you have a thought of wondering if it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
You set the trap because you know it's going to work, okay?
Okay.
This is the thing that I want to say before I get to that. I'm going to come back to that, which you just asked me.
Okay.
If I know and have learned that innocent people was being put into a trap, and it was the evil people who set the trap. Now, who is the evil people? You know, that when you're talking about privilege, you're talking about no one is above the law. Is that what I would think, right? No one is above the law.
Shouldn't
Why
be,
is
right.
it now, all of a sudden, you take the ones that actually have been entrapped and make them wrong, even though they were just as innocent, wasn't doing nobody any harm, and then you set a trap, and now you make me out of something that I'm not. Well, I just came from it, so I do know that it exists. Okay, now, and then you go back to the sports. Check this out. Now, if the Bible talk about sports, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about if the Bible talk about sports, should it be honored by those who believe in it? And that would be something that I would say, you know, if you believe in what the word says, you know, don't take that and make that unaffected because it says in athletics, what is athletics? I think it's sports. You said you are not crowned unless you compete according to the rules.
Now, if
it's rules and you play according to the rules, that means that you lined up with the will of God. But if you don't care nothing about it, you're going to do your own thing and you're going to do wicked stuff, and that's just the way it is. And just to accomplish all of the material things in the world, you say, well, I'm just going to do evil. And that's just the way it is. I'm going to make myself look good like I've done something. Well, guess what? God knows. He's the one created the day. Amen. Okay. So he knew from the start. And he knows in the end who is the righteous and who is unrighteous.
Right.
You're either one or the other. And so what I love about that is that you have a chance to go back to choosing. If you choose to be wicked, be wicked.
Okay.
If you choose to be righteous, be righteous. And so I just wanted to make sure that as a person who said the word says we walk by faith and not by sight, I like to stand on that. Because if I went on what it looked like, I would say, man, we don't have a chance. Because they're already saying that if we stand up for what's right, then we're going to be put down as if we're wrong. You know, in other words, So we want to take over the world. Could you imagine? That being said, could you imagine?
Okay.
Who gonna believe that? You see what I'm saying? And so when I hear things like that, it's either you stand up for what's right, or you make yourself right about your own. You know what I mean? What is that about equal rights? You know, everybody should want equal rights, right? Equal rights.
Yes, sir.
Is that going on? Be honest with yourself. That's not going on. It's not happening. And I'm turning back over to you on this note right here. The Bible says, and if Satan gets the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the advantage means that I got the upper hand. Is that, I mean, I don't know everything. I'm pretty much that ignorant person, you know, ignorant and unlearned. But I like to think that if I ask the question, what does advantage mean?
Okay.
If you're a great ball player or a scholar in what you know, and I don't know it, you got the advantage over me.
You know
what I mean? If I say, Pastor Doctor, do all this stuff I do with a basketball. Well, if I know you're not able to do it, then I got the advantage over you because I can do so much with it. I'm just using that for an example. Now, highly intelligent, and you are a very positive individual, and you love to help people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And then you stood up. I'm telling you what I know. You stood up. And going back to them areas that you said, you know, you think that you should have given up, and, you know, do you think that it's a waste of time? Man, I watched you, how powerful that you put yourself out there. You even threw flags out there. You sounded the alarm, man. I mean, seriously.
Well,
but guess what? Okay. Hey, look here. We can't handle somebody like him, man. He's too much like walking upright. You see what I'm saying? I'm just using for an example, man. That's the difference, brother. So I'm just saying, from the experienced player, I've seen you play, man.
Okay.
Out there on the ground, you know, going at it. You know, offering people something that you had.
It's only fair, Pastor, that we make St. Louis and the rest of the listening audience know what we're talking about now. There were 8 candidates running for the same office. This was a particular council seat, St. Louis. And one was, not that that should matter, one was a white guy. The rest of us were black. And we were all, they would say, running against one. I would couch it in words, I'm not running against anybody, I'm running for people to make a change, make a difference, and so forth.
Right.
Anyway, it was a bunch of noise, man. It was a bunch of noise. We were at one particular polling site, and I guess 20 people had bullhorns out there, St. Louis. And, you know, I'm guilty. I was one of the first people to bring a bullhorn out in Nashville. Pastor, you've been around here a long time. And I was one of the first people to introduce a bullhorn to a polling site. Everybody else did it afterwards, right? And so it was a bunch of noise. But I added a whistle to it and a flag, St. Louis. And I would blow my whistle, and I'd say, hold up, it's a flag on the plate. Got 8 people running, but ain't nobody. They all talking loud, wasn't saying nothing. That's what he was making. And it's interesting, we saw where this particular neighborhood, this council district, has the highest incidence of many of the things that we talked about, that we were making reference to. That was 6 years ago, Pastor. That was 6 years ago. And here we are today. It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. The schools are, we have a number of schools over there that are on the failing list. You've got high rates of robberies, homicides in the city now, in the city. High rates of people that are, yes, sir.
Not cutting you off. Did some people come and confess to you that they said they should have came and hit your way?
I've had them call me. Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just want to.
No, that's a good point. And I don't say this in any way. I think it's sad, really. I really do. And I no longer live in that district. in that council district. And but at the end of the day, there are certain things that are needed. And I was asking that question about the police because really the way I believe that the citizens, when they police themselves, there won't be any need for police patrols. You can tell the police, we don't need you over here. That's what happens over in Belle Meade in this area, in Nashville and parts of Brentwood and Franklin. Police don't patrol around now. They ain't bothering nobody because the citizens tell them, hey, you know, we have a problem, we'll call you. If we need you, we'll call. That's not the same way in certain other areas. And so, but I think that it would be helpful if our people are busy, engaged in productive things. You understand what I'm saying? Making contributions. You won't have time for crime if we did that. But when we fail as a city, I believe, and as a collective and the community in making sure that all those children have that. And then start with having a quality education. Be able to read, to write, to logically process, establish things and things of that nature. That's where we've fallen short. One day, if it ain't me, somebody needs to come along and make it happen. We're up for another electoral cycle here pretty soon. And it'll be interesting to see who does what. So, but having said that, listen, we're going to cut off today in about 15 minutes or so. Anything else? You've been listening to Talk Straight. I see somebody's following us there on Facebook. You've been listening to Talk Straight, Reverend Dockery, and it's been open mic. My good friend out of St. Louis has called us. We appreciate that. And Pastor Wallach, co-host, is right here with us. We got a few more minutes for if there's something else that you'd like to share with us there. We hope to bring some motivating and informative, transformative conversations throughout the year, 2022 and 2022 on Tuesday nights. And if there may be other cases that we may have special episodes there. But so St. Louis, in the next few months, do you see anything improving in the country, around the country, in that context, because you're in a different place than where we are?
Well, you still got the political problem. I think what has to be done, myself, is that the 2020 election needs to be corrected, and Congress needs to correct that.
Okay.
Because if you don't, then the upcoming elections, people won't have any faith in.
Okay.
I think those people that's being held up there without due process for participating in activities in January the 6th, that's held in jail, I mean, that's a travesty. Those people need to be let go or charged, and they need to be compensated.
Okay. It'd be interesting to see how that pan out. I know a lot of is being made of that still. I understand former President Trump is going to have his own rally on January 6th. He's going to make an address to some things. I agree. There are a lot of things that were unusual and strange, and it was done under the guise of COVID, you know, in terms of changing the way and the process by which votes were counted and people cast their votes. And it just caused a lot of doubt in the validity of the process, in my view. That's my view. And we certainly need to. But I'm going to tell you who I hold accountable for that, St. Louis. There were a lot of Republicans who early on started making noise about various cities that were trying to change voting laws and things of that nature or trying to sustain them. And they got quiet and they waited until after November the 4th, 2020, to make their case to the Supreme Court. At that point, it was a little too late. They should have been dogged about preventing it.
States got a right to – yeah, states have a constitutional right to set manner in which the elections are held.
Correct.
Congress have a right to have – separate and federal ballots, separate of state and local issues, which I think that they need.
Right.
And they need to have their own rules and regulation as it applies to vetting those who vote and what's used and how it's used, how they're counted, how they're handled.
Right.
the ballots are handled. Let the states and locals do whatever the heck they want to. They're going to do it anyway. You can't control them.
Well, they have the 10th Amendment affords them that right to be sovereign in that regard. So, yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, states are sovereign.
I would argue, though, that there's a greater need, regardless of what your party affiliation is. I don't belong to either one of them, the two major parties. I don't belong to either one of them. But regardless of what it is, there's a greater need for voter education and organization as well around the right ideas. And I would think the one question that any candidate should ask, even if you're a member of a party, what can you do for everybody, for all of your constituents, even if they're not a member of a party you're part of? And that's where a lot of them get tripped up, you know what I mean? Because folks feel like the state of Tennessee was formed because I believe it was North Carolina felt like they were being forgotten about. No, South Carolina. They felt like they were being forgotten, and North Carolina and the upper region was not looking out for them. So they said, we're going to start out another state in 1798, and bam.
Yeah, you say South Carolina chose wanted to start another state?
Yeah, in 1798, they started the state of Tennessee. They broke away from Carolina and started Tennessee because they felt like our voices are not being heard, and there's virgin land that we could start another state in. And guess what? They did it.
Well, that's like West Virginia, right?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Very much so. Another case in point,
you know. Yeah, I tell you something else. These people that are using the word black, us, and we, they need to cut that stuff out.
Well,
all blacks are not in on that.
Well, that's...
They're not in on that.
No, that's
you need
true.
To say specifically who you talking about. I mean, it can be an organization because you got all these organizations out here that have all these wild ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You got one organization, the Republic of New Africa, want five states. So they're going to go down there and try to take Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina, maybe Texas. I'm going to sit back and watch that.
How do they propose to do that? I'm just curious.
I guess they're going to go down there and take them. Like I say, I'm going to sit back and watch that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. All right.
You got the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan them.
Yes.
You got Hebrew Israelites.
That's true, too.
You got a Church of God in Christ. You got Southern Baptists. You got Black Catholics.
Okay. All right. But you know what?
So some people.
Go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
No, I said if they want to identify as we, then they put it need to be we, the Southern Black, we, the Church of God in Christ Blacks, we, the Black Catholics, we, the Southern Black Southern Baptists.
Right.
Don't be trying to throw me into that.
Well, now, do you identify yourself as being black? Let me ask you that right quickly. Would you identify yourself as a black person, a black man? A
not
black
alone,
American?
No.
Okay.
Then if that's the case, what are Nigerians? Nigerians don't be out there complaining, hooping and hollering. Right? Look at the black. Look at the Somalis. Somalis don't follow the Holy Bible.
Well,
they black.
And nor do they identify themselves as being, quote, black, end quote. You follow what I'm saying?
No.
That's the difference. That's the difference. Let me catch Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor. Yes, sir.
You know how powerful words are. You know, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes,
so you can speak life or you can speak death. You're going to speak either one of them. You know what I mean? There's no in between, in other words, is what I'm saying. And I'm so glad, man, because if I didn't know a little bit that I've learned, I'll be falling for anything I hear. The Word of God says we. It says we, W-E. The Word of God says that. It didn't say we, everybody. It said we who are strong. We who are strong. Listen to that. We who are strong are together in front of the weak and not to please ourselves. That means right there, that saying to me like this, don't be selfish with what you know. You understand what I'm saying? Because you actually don't have no power when you do that. Because it said we being who are strong. Whatever word we is being used, it's not to be excluded. You understand? That's why everybody said we has a purpose, but it says it didn't say everybody. It said we men who are strong. And the same thing it talks about when it's talking about when it says forsake not the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some. Some don't care to get with it. And that's understandable. That's what I love about the Word of God. It allows people to be where they are. In other words, look, I'm not going to try to make you, force you to be affiliated with me. And that's the beauty of
the I see.
You see, and so I just want to make sure that we stay right there, like this podcast has been going on for how many years now?
It's going on 6 years.
And it's been effective standing on the Word of God, in spite of who don't like it.
Okay.
Who's against it? You understand?
Yeah.
Because the power of words is with the intent to lure people away from what they're standing on.
Okay.
And I know, like I say, that, and I'm going to say this and turn it back over to you. And I do say this right here. Unless Satan gets the advantage over us, so we are not ignorant of his devices. He'll use a person, a place, or even something in particular to separate you from the love of God if we allow it.
Okay.
That's why he said watch and pray. Watch and pray, man, because what is wicked is wicked. Amen. I'm talking about even in this season right here, the wicked, then you don't just be wicked just for one day. If it's practicing wickedness, it's going to practice wickedness, man. And that's just the way it is. So if you got the love of God in your heart, stand on it.
Hold right there, Pastor. We got about three minutes. Let me get St. Louis my final thought, and I'm coming right back to you. St. Louis, give me a closing thought here before we get out of here. Man, look at time that got away from us here.
Well, as I said before, what's going to happen is going to happen. People are going to talk as they always have been, and nothing comes of it.
Okay.
And then you're going to have those who won't say much of anything. And a lot come of it.
Okay.
But people should stick to the agenda at hand, leave all the other stuff at the door.
Okay. Well, listen, I hate the time. We got about 2 minutes. I appreciate that. We're grateful for you joining us there. We'll be back next Tuesday night for another episode of Talk Straight there. We thank you guys, and we'll look forward to getting with you then. We'll close out tonight. All right. Well, Pastor Waller, we're going to turn it over to you to close us out here, and then we'll look forward to engaging our listening audience on next Tuesday night. All right, sir, you got the flow.
Yeah, man, it's been a blessing, man, to have this podcast to continue. So I just wanted to say be encouraged, keep doing what you're doing, and remember what it says in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Until we meet again, be encouraged.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. What we want you to know, that God is yet on the throne. And as long as he's on the throne, everything will be all right. And with that, we thank you again, and we look forward to seeing you guys on next Tuesday. Tremaine said, "A change has come over me." And I appreciate us saying that.